Let's go back to John chapter 11. And we're going to notice verses 1 through 6. I missed this. And this is what I'm supposed to do. John 11, beginning with the first word in the first verse. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. Now, pause right there. Lazarus was a very common name in the ancient world. And so John, the writer of this, is going to give us some detail so that we can identify which Lazarus it was. He was from Bethany. So this is the Lazarus that lived in the village of Bethany. Let's pause again. There were two Bethanies in the ancient world. So John is now going to clarify and identify which Bethany it was. Verse 1, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lies sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. The sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6. Does that help you? Verse 6. Yet, when he, Jesus, heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to look at verse 6. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. When Jesus got message, Lazarus was sick. He stayed right where he was for 2 more days. I want to speak this morning on the subject, when Jesus arrived late. When Jesus arrived late. Lazarus is seriously ill. So his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they send an urgent message to Jesus. The message was, Lord, the one you love is sick. The sisters are expecting Jesus to just drop everything and immediately come to where Lazarus is and do something about this sickness. But that's not what Jesus does. He waits. He waits. He delays. And when Jesus finally arrives in the village of Bethany, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And the sisters are devastated by him being late. Because when he finally arrives, the first thing out of the sisters' mouths are, look, if you'd been here. That's the first thing they say. If you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But what the sisters didn't understand, and what many times you and I do not understand in similar circumstances, is that Jesus has a plan. Listen to me. Jesus always has a plan. Now, from his delay, I want to share with you, and this is not an overstatement, but I want to share with you two of the greatest lessons you ever learn in your life. I want to share with you two of the greatest lessons you're ever going to learn in your life. The first one is this. When you part from friends, you cannot know the circumstances they'll be in. You will never know the circumstances they'll be in when you find them again. Did you hear what I said? You're with friends. You're fellowshipping with friends. You're having a good time with friends. And then you depart. You part from them. When you part from those friends, you do not know what the circumstance will be the next time you come to them. Now, let me show you in this text how that worked. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived in the village of Bethany. The village of Bethany was about 2 miles east of the city of Jerusalem. Whenever Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, whenever he came to the temple or around the temple or ministered there, Jesus would stay in the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. In the last week of his life, which the scholars call the Passion Week, because of all the events that would transpire and lead to crucifixion. A week before he was crucified, Jesus rides into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. For that week, Jesus goes into the city of Jerusalem every day, and he teaches in the temple and outside of the temple. And when evening come, he would go back those 2 miles to the city of Bethany, to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's what he would do. Now listen to me. The last time that Jesus had left Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they were happy. The last time he left Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they were all healthy. The last time he saw them and was in their home and then left them, life was all good. All three of them were fine. But oh, how quickly life can change. The last time he saw them, they were fine. Now he comes back to see them again, and now he finds Lazarus in the grave. Jewish burial procedure, when a Jew died, they buried them the same day. An example of that is in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, when Ananias came into the service and lied and was struck dead, they took him out and immediately they buried him. 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira comes in. Her husband's been dead 3 hours. They've already buried him. Then she breathed her last and died, and they took her out and they buried her. Jews buried their dead on the same day. When Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Listen to me. The last time he was in their home, the last time he saw them, they were fine. And now, Lazarus is in the grave. Listen. Do you know how many people have sat in one of these pews and worshiped with us on Sunday? And that same person has lied at the front of this building in state later that same week. When we leave people, we have no idea what's going to happen before we get back to them. I've been around here since the mid-70s. I know what I'm about to say. The pew on which you sit, the pew on which you sit, somebody has sit in that very seat and has heard the gospel for the last time. When Jesus had last left this family, they were fine. Now he goes back and Lazarus is in the grave. But not only is Lazarus in the grave, Jesus comes back and now Jesus finds the sisters grieving over their brother. Look, Mary and Martha are being swallowed up in the grief over their brother. Let me tell you something about the grace of God. Grace can keep your heart from becoming troubled. John 14 in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Grace can keep your heart from being troubled, but grace can't keep sorrow out of your home. Man is born of woman, is of a few days, and full of trouble. Job 14 and verse 1. When we leave people, we know. When we leave them, we don't know what the circumstances are going to be when we get back there. When Jesus had left these three the last time, life was good. And now he comes back And one of them is dead, and the other two are grieving the death of the brother. Now, here's what all of this points to. What all of this points to is that life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. We don't know. We don't know. In James chapter 4, James is addressing the merchant Jews. The Jewish Christian, the Jewish men who are Christians, listen, they have built their businesses, they've expanded their businesses, they've gone out of town and built other businesses, and it was all great. So James describes them in verse 13. He says, this is what you're telling yourself. You're saying to yourself, well, we're going to go over here in this city, and we're going to stay there for a year, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make money here. And then after a year, we're going to leave this city, and we're going to go over here into this city, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to do all of that. They were planning their lives. But in planning their lives, they had overlooked one of life's great facts. And in verse 14, James reminds them of this fact. James says, you don't even know what to happen tomorrow. He says, your life is a puff of smoke. It's a vapor. And it appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. We don't know what will happen when we leave people. We don't know that before we can get back there and look their face again, they may not even be there. So what does all this mean? What does all of this mean? What all of this means is that when we leave people and when we walk away from these people, because we don't know the circumstances when we return, what this means is that we need, with everything within us, to part from people on good terms. Now, let's make this very real. Family. God bless family. You got them. And if you don't know who they are, you're the one. We all got them. Family members, listen, they hate everybody who has the same last name they do. So you go to family outings, and their favorite pastime at family outings is poke at you. They live for it. So they tell you, how's Jesus doing? Jesus doing okay? You still going to that church? I know you ain't giving them crooks your money down there. Poke, poke, poke. Listen to me. As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. Amen. Romans 12, 18. Do everything within your power to part with people on good terms. Why? Because when you part from them, you don't know what the circumstance will be next time you see them. Same thing is true with brothers and sisters in Christ. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you can't be a knothead. Now, this is my observation. This is just a life observation from me. When someone in the congregation passes away, there is this outpouring of love. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. But then I think to myself, here's all this love, and this brother or sister is gone. Why don't we love like this all the time? Listen to me. If somebody has helped you, done for you, loved you, don't wait till they die so you can come up here and make a 2-minute remark about what they did. Go tell them you appreciate them. Say, well, people just don't treat me right. Listen to me. Listen to me. Now, this is me. This is me. And I can talk about me whenever I get ready. My rule is that I don't take things personal. Now, I live with somebody over there who thinks I ought to take a lot more things personal that said that I do, but I don't. And here's my explanation for it. Somebody walks up and attacks me, says something about me. Listen, I haven't in all my life, I haven't even had a 10-minute conversation with that person. Why would I take personally something that somebody has said about me that don't know me? Why would I take that personal? You don't know me. So why would I do that? And how folks feel about me, listen to me, has no bearing on how I feel about them. You say, well, they just all ought to joint with you. Listen, that's on them. That's on them. And one of the greatest days of your life will be when you understand you don't have to go to every fight you're invited to. You don't have to hate those that hate you. Jesus said, love your enemies. Now, there's different words in the Bible for love. I mean, Jesus says, love your wife. Look, I'm not supposed to love my enemies like I love my wife. Though sometimes my wife, well, never mind, but. Amen. Listen. The word love there is a totally Christian word, agape. It means you want the best for them. You may not like me, but I want what's best for you. Listen, listen. When Jesus heard what had happened to Lazarus, he stayed there 2 more days. Don't you know that everybody in Bethany thought, what is he doing? You are late. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Listen to me, when we part this morning from each other, we cannot know what the circumstances will be by next Sunday. You need to live with that truth. As much as is within you, you part from people on good terms. Well, all messed up with me. That's on them. Don't you be messed up with them. Number two, the second truth, and you need to always remember this, is that when it seems that Jesus has arrived late, remember, he never left. He never left. Now, here it is. And you can sit there and deny this, and if you do, you are lying. And if you lie about this, you lie about something else. Sometimes it feels like nobody is listening. Amen. Sometimes it feels like the Lord is distant. And you're asking yourself, man, look, man, where are you? Are you not seeing this? Amen. Sometimes it feels like you're praying and your prayers aren't even getting to the ceiling, more or less to heaven. And sometimes it feels like, look, Jesus is late. Now here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to explain something. And I don't know if I can. But it's worth me completely humiliating myself trying to do this. So here it is. When trials and storms come in to life, sometimes those trials are prolonged. They come and they stay and they stay and they stay and they don't want to leave. So understand that when trials and storms come into our life, and when they are prolonged, they are prolonged for a reason. Did you hear me? They are prolonged for a reason. What use is it for a trial to come into my life, to stay a minute, and then leave? What have I learned? Nothing. What good did it do me? None. So here's what that means. That means that time is the element in the storm that gives us the rough time. You understand what I just said? If storms are prolonged, they're prolonged for a reason. If a storm is for a moment, that's not doing me any good. So it is the time that is the element in the storm that disturbs us. But understand that when that trial comes and when that storm stays, that's what makes us understand our own helplessness. And when that storm comes and when it stays, in our utter helplessness, we then reach up to God and say, look, I can't fix this by myself. You understand? I can't fix this by myself. If the trial comes for a moment and goes away, I strut around like I did something. Amen. But when trials of life come and when they stay, that causes us to reach up to God and say, "Dear God, help me to understand this." Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know. Heaven's time is different than ours. Now, I'm standing here, I got a watch on. And my day is 24 hours. 24 hours. And everything that all of us do is based on that 24 hours. Well, Sunday, 10 a.m., Bible class, Sunday, 11 o'clock, church, Monday, got to get up at this time because I got to be at work at this time. And so that's our life. Our lives revolve around that 24 hours. That 24 hours is a day to all of us. But in heaven, a day is 1,000 years. Peter said, "Look, brothers, don't forget this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. Well, what is that verse saying? What that verse is saying is that heaven's time is different from our time. Don't you understand that that 4 days that Mary and Martha waited for Jesus to come must have felt like an eternity to them. But don't you understand that in those 4 days, not one moment of them did Jesus not know what was going on in Bethany? And when you and I hit the fire, and you will hit the fire, when we hit the flames of trial, we need to understand there will not be one moment that God doesn't see and understand what's going on. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Hebrews 13:5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Psalm 23:4. When it seems as if Jesus is late, when it seems like he's arrived late, and when we want to say what the sisters say, "Lord, if you'd just been here, this would be different." Listen, he never left. He never left. Now, let's conclude this. What is the purpose of this whole chapter? What is the purpose of this whole chapter? Jesus tells us early on. When Jesus heard this, when he heard about Lazarus' sickness, Jesus said, "This sickness is not going to end in death. But God's going to be glorified in this. And his son, me, I will be glorified in this too." The purpose of this whole chapter is this. The sickness of the saints can bring glory to God. That's the purpose of this. The sickness of the saints can bring glory to God. Now, how so? Well, in your sickness, if God grants you favor, you get well you glorify God. Look what God did. But in your sickness, if God does not grant you favor, and that sickness prolongs and prolongs, how we act and how we react to the sickness can glorify God. Can glorify God. Now, here's the hard part, and some of you won't understand this at all. Here's the hard part. Whether God chooses to grant us favor in these times, or God chooses not to grant us favor in these times, let us be satisfied.
Amen. Okay.
Let us be satisfied. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he purposely stayed two more days where he was at, because the Lord had a plan. Listen to me. When you part from your family, when you part from your brethren, and you walk away from this building today, we cannot know what the circumstances will be the next time we come back here. And when life and the devil and the world put you into the fire, and you can't see Jesus, you can't find him, and it seems like he isn't listening, you listen to me. He's never left. He's never left. This morning, if you've allowed your trials, if you've allowed the storms of life to pull you away from God, you need to come back. If somebody in this building has helped you and loved you, you need to tell them while they're still upright. Amen. If grandma has helped you, go tell grandma. Go tell grandma. And just sit there and listen to them stories you've heard 100 times, but go tell grandma. Amen. Because I'm telling you, the day will come when you give anything to hear grandma tell them stories again. Okay? Listen to me. This is all well and good. But right now, you need to do something. Don't leave here away from God. What's wrong with you? Don't leave here away from God. If you need to come, there'll never, ever be a better time or place than right now, as together we stand.